And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Voices from the Grid. I'm Michael Lindenbaum, being joined by one of my several Power Ranger co-hosts, this time around, the Yellow Ranger himself, Mr. Brian Massey.
What's going on, everybody?
And of course, Brian, you get the Sentai side of things, correct? Unlike in Power Rangers, where in the Sentai for Geo Ranger, the Yellow Ranger is a guy.
Yep. It's a boy named Boy. Go figure.
Yeah. So with that said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to let you know that this episode was pre-recorded beforehand, and we actually had to redo the intros and the outros. So if it's a little disjointed, we do apologize. So with that, we hope you enjoyed the episode. So we're going to start off with Mighty Morphin Mutants, then we're going to do an Oyster Stew. If my ceiling fan will stop pushing my notes away, that would be wonderful. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it is everyone's favorite moment or segment in my mind, the quick run through of Mighty Morphin Mutants, which we begin at Angel Grove High School. Tommy is running late for class and gets caught by Miss Appleby. Man, Tommy's just not catching any breaks with Miss Appleby lately. And a class project is about self-improvement. Because, yeah, Tommy, you need some self-improvement, brah. Rita wants the badges of darkness. Goldar begins the Mutant Rangers training. Goldar deems none of them worthy of the Red Ranger coin. Tommy and Kim get attacked by their doppelgangers, and then at the command center, the Rangers are briefed, and then a new monster has been unleashed. The Rangers get paged by Zordon, and they morph into action. And a cool little morph sequence for the putties, which I will admit was pretty nice. Tommy then morphs into action, and the green mutant ranger has the Sword of Darkness. Yeah. The Rangers retreat. The Rangers get their upgraded weapons, and return to battle. And it's the Battle of the Power Blasters. Rita makes the monster and three of the mutant rangers grow. Zord time, definitely one of the more interesting battles that we've seen. And then back at school, Tommy is reaffirmed by the others, and Bulk and Skull try to be perfect gentlemen. So with that, Brian, take it away.
All right, so I have some stuff written down here, and I also got a few things kind of since you gave the recap, I do want to talk about. So Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Season 1, Episode 59, Mighty Morphin Mutants. Original air date was May 16th, 1994, written by Douglas Sloan, and it was directed by Terrence H. Winkless. I keep trying not to write down Winkler because I think of Henry Winkler when I say that last name. I don't know why. So some notes. Commander Crayfish is a ZU2 creature made especially for Mighty Morphin. Never showed up in Zeo Ranger. The mutant ranger weapons are actually the untransformed versions of the legendary weapons from Zeo Ranger. Mutant Green uses the Sword of Darkness since there was no powered down version of the Zeo Soken or the Dragon Dagger. Funny enough, if you watch the intro for Kyoto Sentai Zeo Ranger, these are the weapons that they're holding when, Yuta's holding the weapon in the intro, like when they're not morphed. Those are the same weapons.
Yep.
So let's see here. Despite being the same, the upgraded power weapons are confirmed to be more powerful by Alpha 5. They look exactly the same, but they're just more powerful. At the very least, they're not sparkly and like glittery. You know what I mean?
We'll get there.
We'll get there. Tommy receives a new Dragon Dagger, making the possible loss of the original one in a couple of episodes ago a moot point. You know how he was going to lose the Dragon Dagger by, trying to free the Rangers? Apparently, Zordon could have just been like, oh man, that sucks. Here's a new one.
Here you go, brah.
I got you. So this is the last time Rita makes a monster grow with her wand, this season anyways. And this is also the final appearance of the original Ultra Sword combination. Titanus will not return until season 3. And this is the first time in the series that the Power Blaster is used outside of the usual Zeo Ranger stock footage. So we get new footage for that, finally. When all this is happening, during the major fight scene, and this is just another note, and then I'll kind of go chronologically through the episode. So during the episode, when they do the power blaster mode, Green Ranger strikes a pose, and he's like holding his dragon dagger, even though he doesn't have a role in the formation. Don't know why. I guess they just thought it would look cool.
Damn right, it looks cool.
Yeah. So this assignment is to ask your friends if there's something about you that needs a little work, and then to change this fault. Which I feel like is a pretty typical assignment in, like, you know, places like high school and maybe even college. And it's very typical of Bulk and Skull to be like, hey, what if we don't need to change anything about ourselves? You know, we're perfect the way we are, you know? So, but then Tommy just kind of goes on this thing about being forgetful. And it's not even like anything that Rita does to him or anything. It's just, he's just a forgetful dude. Even though he hasn't really been that forgetful in the entire season, but all of a sudden, whoops, Butterfingers, I forgot my notebook in my locker and, you know, all this stuff. So Billy,
well, I mean, one thing that you can put that into play on that one is kind of like when they did the game show episode where Tommy had the karate competition and Kim was doing the trick or treat contest. And, you know, they both had to essentially forfeit their contest because of being a Power Ranger. And, right. You know, you can easily say, in a way, it's like Tommy's forgetfulness is just the stress of being a Power Ranger catching up to him, in a way.
That's fair. That's absolutely fair.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm just trying to put that in perspective, that's all.
I mean, I can imagine that the stress of being a Power Ranger would catch up to him and manifest in everybody in certain ways. And so you actually make a pretty good point on that one. I will yeah. say that's a,
I have my moments. Thank you. I have my moments from time to time.
You do. Thank you for that. Actually that, so Billy builds a device that like, it's supposed to help him out. It's basically a smartphone before a smartphone was a smartphone. That's supposed to be like, hey, you know, like, remember this, remember that, but then it overloads and explodes. And then, you know, Kim and Trini are like tying ribbons on him and all this stuff, and it's just making things worse. Let's see here. So this episode, and I do kind of want to let you take the lead on this, on the fight scene, because I think you might remember a little more than I do. I thought the fight scene was pretty cool. It was really cool seeing, like, you know, Rangers grown up and like fighting Zords again, because we saw that in Green with Evil, where you got Green Ranger fighting the Megazord. And I thought that was really cool. And I think, I want to say maybe Saban got, you know, like that was the most popular thing that happened in those episodes, or one of the more popular things that happened in the episodes. So they commissioned more, and I'm glad they did, because it looked awesome.
Yeah, it was definitely more interesting watching that Zord battle. But yeah. The other thing was that where is it in my notes? I really liked Goldar's Mutant Ranger training.
Yeah.
I really liked the whole the putties going through boot camp to become Rangers for Rita, and the whole fact that they had this, you know, they're on the beach, and you have like, I mean, they obviously overplayed it on purpose, because you knew that the Red Ranger was going to be the monster. So, like, they kind of overplayed it a little bit, where the one putty was just going to get, like, banished back to the clay table for Finster.
Putty number six, I think.
Yeah, I think it was, like, putty number six or something like that. But, like, but I thought that was cool. That was completely different. It was really unique. And I don't think we ever really see that again in Power Rangers. But, like, yeah, it was really unique. Like, Goldar training Rangers. That's kind of cool. I kind of like that. Albeit, they're putties and they're the bad guys. It's still kind of cool to see that.
I agree. Yeah. And I feel like we got – I feel like the episode – this was one of the stronger episodes, I feel like. And my notes for this episode, I mean, I don't really have anything prescient to say about it. I mean, I do know at the very end, like, Bulk and Skull are walking around, you know, trying to be atypical gentlemen, and they're going to give Miss Appleby a gift, and she's like, why don't you open it? And all of a sudden, there's like a silly string bomb that goes off. And I was like, I don't even know how that works, but okay. Like, how do you rig a silly string bomb like that? But it's just typical Bulk and Skull for the ending.
Yep.
Again, like the training and the Megazord fight, I thought, like, those were the most standout things about this episode. I really liked those.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, is there anything in particular about the fight itself? Like, I think, what was it? It was the crayfish, like, sat up on the shoulders, and, like, they said something about how, our blasters can't reach him now because he's too high up. And I'm like, aim higher. Like, what? Why can't the Megazord aim its arm up like a little bit more and shoot him in the head? Like,
yeah, I also liked how the crayfish used the other Rangers for ingenuity for battling the Megazord.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was and actually
also basically
just so different. It was so like this episode had a lot of uniqueness to it.
I agree, and also, technically speaking, because he was on their shoulders, and I think he was on like blue and yellows, he was technically making himself into a Megazord.
Yeah. And if I remember right, the Rangers that they used was green, black, and blue. So,
yes.
So with that, Mighty Morphin Mutants clocked in at 21 minutes and 19 seconds. With an IMDb score of a 7.6 out of 10. Which now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of many ages, it is now time for the last episode of season one. An oyster stew. And it's now time for everyone's favorite segment. In my mind, it's the quick rundown of an oyster stew. So we're back at the youth center. Tommy is working out and Skull is jamming with Bulk. Zach trying to get advice on what to do for Angela. Rita then plots with Goldar. Zach asks Angela out for her birthday. Zach now on the search for pearl earrings. Some stranger offers pearl earrings to Zach. And of course, it's a putty. Come on, Zach. Do you really think some bum on a picnic table is going to sell you legit pearl earrings? Come on now. Zach, Angela, Tommy, and Kim arrive to the restaurant. Zach orders all the food. Come on, bro. I ain't having you order food for me. And we hanged out like at the same convention. Same hotel too. If we ever had breakfast, you are not ordering me my food. Uh-uh. No. No. So Jason, Trini, and Billy get a putty attack. Back at the restaurant, Bulk and Skull sing for Angela. Zach gives the earrings to Angela, and then she loves them. They almost kiss, but cake attack. Angela puts on the earrings and freezes Jason, Trini, Billy, Kim, and everyone else except for Tommy and Zach. Zach and Tommy go to the command center for briefing. They morph into action. They break the curse, and Angela is pissed. And now for an underwater battle, which is the first for Power Rangers. They destroy the pearl in anger of the monster, which then becomes Dragonzord time, and they defeat the monster. Back at the youth center, the Rangers celebrate their victory. Zach tries one last time with Angela, and Zach Man gets the kiss from Angela, finally, 60 episodes later. Good job, Zach. Good job. And that is an oyster stew. Brian, take it away.
All right. So Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Season 1, Episode 60, An Oyster Stew, the season finale. Air date was on May 23rd, 1994. It was written by Shel Danielson and directed by Terrence H. Winkless. There's a couple of notes here. And so, yes, this was awesome because we got a final, we got a kiss between Zach and Angela finally. So here's my first note. Final appearance of Angela on the show.
Oh, God. Poor Angela.
She's never mentioned again. She's never seen again. She's just gone. Season two, she's gone. So,
man. Yes. Damn. Like, Zach gets the girl, never to be seen ever again.
Bye. Bye. Okay, so.
Damn, I feel so bad for her.
I actually had that, like, down on my list, but I was like, I got to mention this first, man.
Well, you should. I mean, the fact that I'm ending it with the fact that they kissed, you can go, and, well, this was Angela's last appearance on the show.
I guess they didn't negotiate a new contract for her, or they were just like, we got way too many things coming up soon. We got like Serpentro, we got Lord Zedd, we got all these new monsters, we got a White Ranger coming up. Angela, we can't fit you into the budget. I'm sorry.
But yet they tried creating a love interest for Trini in season two.
I vaguely remember that.
Yeah.
There's a lot more in season two I remember, though. There's a lot of stuff in season two, but you know what? That's next season.
Yep.
So, this is the final appearance of the original Putty Patrollers until Power Rangers Beast Morphers. It's also the final appearance of the Dino Megazord and Power Sword until Power Rangers Beast Morphers as well. Obviously, there was that episode where Jason came back, and I think that was actually a Super Sentai movie with, it was a GoBusters movie, but Kyoruger and like all the other, like Abba Ranger and Zeo Ranger were in that as well. But they recently did that episode. I actually watched it and I thought it was really good. We'll talk about that when we get to it. Like how many seasons down the road?
60 years.
So let's see here. So this is the only episode showing Zach or any of the other Rangers besides Jason donning Tommy's Dragon Shield. Which, by the way, I own this action figure.
So do I.
Yep.
Well, I own the SH Figure Arts, which is the San Diego Comic-Con exclusive.
Well, aren't you lucky? I have the Hasbro version, which a lot of people are taking the shield off of and putting like electrical tape on the biceps to make it look like a regular one. I'm like, let's just wait for a regular one to come out. I mean, you know, whatever. God knows I'm probably going to buy it, right? It looks as though there were two shots of Zeo Ranger 2 footage that were cut from this episode. Zach scanning for the monster using his helmet. This would actually be a concept later used as Rocky's power scanner in Mighty Morphin Power Rangers the movie. Which we should note,
we're recording this episode on June 30th. The 25th anniversary of the movie. Obviously, this episode is airing much later, but I just want to bring that up, the fact that you brought up Rocky in the movie.
Yeah.
Today is the day of the actual recording, is the 25th anniversary of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie.
It's been 25 years since the movie came out.
Wow. 1995.
Wow.
And here's the thing. So that way a lot of people know this. So the next episode we're going to do is a season one recap where all of us get together. Then we're going to start recording season two. Once season two is over, then we do the movie.
Okay.
Then we go into season three. So
we can cut this part out if you want to, but I kind of feel like doing like a riff tracks on the movie, but not like making fun of the movie, but just like doing like a audio commentary while watching the movie would be fun.
That would be interesting.
Okay, so there's also another scene that was cut where the monster was shown worshiping the pearl before going into battle. Obviously, religion is not a thing that you can do in children's shows here or video games, which see Castlevania. They cut out how many crosses in that game? You know, stuff like that. Like, I guess they didn't want, you know, there being a worship on this thing. So, okay, there's a lot to unpack in the first 3 minutes of this entire episode, okay? So bear with me on this one. So Bulk and Skull are auditioning for a music gig. Zach wants to take Angela on a double date and wow her with a fancy dinner, a singing telegram, and pearl earrings. Rita then says, idea, to which Goldar then replies, call on the Ectoside Pearl to unleash the Oysterizer. This is a crazy finale. like that line is in the first, like, all that happens in the span of 3 minutes. And my brain wasn't able to process all of it. I was like, I was fine when, like, Zach was like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. You guys want to come on a double date? I was like, okay, cool. And then, like, Goldar just spouts that. I was like, okay, now my brain is mush. Like, and I had the subtitles on, too. And I was like, I still didn't catch what he said. Hold on. Let me rewind that. So Zach has to ask for another chance with Angela on this date. And I guess she's still mad about the movie fiasco where, like, he left and, you know, I mean, I haven't forgotten Zach getting, you know, ditched and popcorn being dumped on his head. So why would Angela, you know, why would she forget that? So Zach does finger guns and then he goes to Jared and then he leaves after seeing the price tag. Cause he's trying to buy earrings for Angela. And then this scene happens, and I had to say, hold it. What's going on here? So a putty not only can pose as a back alley jewelry pusher and take Zach's money, but he also tells a sob story about his deceased wife and her falling in love with him because of these earrings. I think her name was Edna.
Keep in mind, this isn't the first time that a putty has played a person.
Fair, but I just didn't realize putties were capable of that.
Well, it's not about the putty. It's about the magic put on the putty.
Fair. I guess that's fair. It just...
I mean, we just did an episode... I mean, we just talked about an episode about mutant rangers that are putties.
I mean, fair, but, like, they...
Oh, and by the thing, that morph sequence, I know I'm hopping back one, that morph sequence for the mutant Power Rangers, freaking awesome. Anyways, moving back on.
Let's see here. So Zach has the shield for less than 2 minutes in this episode, which does not matter to Hasbro or SH Figure Arts. But he has the shield so that, you know, the acid that gets shot on him, you know, doesn't kill him. And then, like, Tommy kind of gets hit by it, and he's left there to just kind of, you know, like, left there to suffer. And I was like, oh, that's kind of messed up. But then, also Zach, like, I guess puts the shield back on him and like, leaves him there and goes to get help or something. So I have just a few more notes here. And then we can talk also about just, like, the whole thing with Angela as well. But what was it? I think one of the Rangers says, let's jam, guys. To which I said, yeah, let's get that pearl. Let's jam. Pearl jam. You know, let's keep it on an even flow, Jeremy. Just got to get that yellow bedletter mailed and look in the rearview mirror to stay alive. You know? You get it?
Oh, I get it.
It's a Pearl Jam reference.
Really? I would never have guessed.
The entire fight underwater I thought was really cool, but, like, in my brain, because I was so tired by the time I was watching it, I was just like, oh, cool, an underwater level. I wonder what the music's like. Dire dogs all up in here. So Bulk and Skull, you know, actually at the very end of the episode, they managed to do something nice for once. Skull keeps singing about beans, and I'm very concerned about this child.
He ain't getting enough beans in his diet. That's what's wrong.
He needs the beans, but, like...
it's like Beavis when he becomes Cornholio. There's just not enough teepee for his bunghole, you know?
Yep. I got a kind of teepee for my bunghole. So the finale was kind of satisfying, I guess, but here's the thing. Talking about this finale, because, like, obviously it ends with Zach, you know, getting to kiss Angela, who then just kind of
disappears, you
know, gets yeeted off the show. I actually remember watching this episode, and like, I guess I don't even think that they made a big stink about like, oh yeah, by the way, yeah, this is the last episode. I think they might have done like a brief thing or something. This is the last episode of the season. But it did not feel like, as a kid, it didn't feel like the finale, and as an adult, it didn't feel like the finale either.
Isn't that because like a couple weeks later they actually did season two?
Was that what happened? Was it literally that soon?
I don't know.
Hold on, you know what? I'm Google.
We're looking it up now.
Because I've got an oyster stew pulled up on here already. And they're giving me an ad for the Twilight Zone. No. Okay, so an oyster stew, episode 60. Air date was May 23rd, 1994. And then Mutiny
was July 21st, 1994.
May, June, July.
So it was literally 2 months later they did season two.
Dude, that's nuts.
And then let's see here, just for laughs. So May 20th, 1995 was when episode 52 of season two aired. And then in September of 95 was when they debuted season three.
Well, here's
which,
the thing.
Which had more space between them.
Okay, so here's the interesting thing, though, because they did those episodes in July and August for the Mutiny. The last episode of the Mutiny, and this is all like us leading up into the next one. So the last episode of the Mutiny was August 5th, 1994, part three. It was a three-part show. The Wannabe Ranger started season two properly, and that was September 13th, 1994. So they waited another month for that. So I feel like what they were trying to do was they were trying to establish, here's Lord Zedd, here's all the stuff that's going on, and then they started the season two proper. Because then the fifth episode of season two begins on September 14th. So yeah, they were on like a regular schedule from there. So yeah.
Crazy.
So yeah, that's season one.
Yeah. This episode of Oyster Stew clocked in at 21 minutes and 20 seconds and came in with an IMDb score of a 7.5 out of 10.
Not bad.
So not bad, Angela. You were a 7.5 out of 10 for your departure from the show that nobody knew was going to be your departure from the show.
That had to hurt for that actress, right? I mean, that had to hurt. Because, like, that show
well, was I already mean, so popular. I mean, also keep in mind, like, what we do know moving forward is that Zach and Jason and Trini leave the show in season two. So, like, that's probably why. So, like, they probably knew it's like, all right, we're going to be losing these three.
Right.
So there's no point in bringing back the love interest.
Yeah.
So, but with that has been season one. We have finally made it. And so with that, Brian, where can the people find you on the social medias?
Y'all can find me on Twitter at OneDrunkGeek, where I post updates on the show that I do, which is also called OneDrunkGeek, where I've worked on the 100 craft beers that you need to try before you die. I'm also on castwavestudios.com. You can see me on BGN Weekly. We've done many episodes over the past 10 years, so please give that a look. And, yeah, you can also find me on Instagram at Draken22. I post photos and stuff and, you know, cosplay stuff, so.
All right, and you can follow me on the Twitters at TheLindenbaum75, Facebook at Facebook.com/X75Productions, and, of course, everything for me is on the website at TXHTHockey.com, and for the show specifically, which is VFTG. Which is the call letters for Voices from the Grid. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
So until next time, grab your morphers.
And may the power protect you.